The summer is awash in superhero franchise films whose formulas rely on male-driven aggression and lots of explosions. Entering the arena is the long-anticipated Wonder Woman, which has Warner Brothers hoping it can restart its underperforming DC Comics lineup, and lots of industry insiders watching to see if a female-driven superhero film can overcome entrenched attitudes in Hollywood and our society about what audiences want in a comic book movie. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. Joining me to discuss the latest blockbuster, Wonder Woman, and give her thoughts on the summer films ahead, I'm happy to have back on the program frequent on-film contributor Jean Creel. Good morning, Jean.
Morning. Thank you, Chuck.
All right. Big movie opened last week.
Oh-ho.
Long anticipated.
Yes. Yes.
Take us into Wonder Woman.
Okay. And is it any wonder that this is turning out to be the smash action-adventure film of the summer? You have the stunning Israeli actress Gal Gadot in the title role, being mentored and charmed by the hunky Chris Pine in a DC comic adaptation that makes the other DC and Marvel Comics renditions seem tired and flat. The story is fresh and told with all the backstory one needs to follow the action. Diana is a princess on a mythical island where she lives with her warrior queen mother and watches longingly as her aunt trains all the Amazon women living there. Eventually, her mother reluctantly allows the aunt to train Diana but charges her with training Diana to be the very best, and so she does. When a plane crashes through the atmosphere and deposits our hero soldier, Chris Pine, on the beach, he inadvertently introduces Diana to what a man is, but also to the troubling news of the First World War. Diana has known only peace in her world, though she knows of the existence of evil, which she knows only as Ares, the god of war. In her mind, it's her destiny. She's answering the call to save the world by finding and killing Ares with the soldier's help. And so the film shifts into high gear when they return to London. There are so many elements in the film that elevate it above and beyond the typical superheroine hero fare. The director, Patty Jenkins, who has a background in photography and music, and brings those skills and artistry to the film. The cinematic mix of well-chosen close-ups and action sequences, which are almost balletic, make it a visual treat. The chemistry between Gadot and Pine develops almost like a courtship. He educates her in modern ways, introduces her to new people and places. With the help of his able secretary, she gets new clothes. It's almost Pygmalion in a way. And yet she has a strength and fire and purpose that needs no cultivating. Rather, he's usually trying to rein her in. And before I lob it over to you, Chuck, I must comment on the woman's touch. Here it is firm but gentle. The feminine influence is undeniable, but it's never heavy-handed, which is one reason why I think the film will have universal appeal. Besides Gadot, there's Connie Nielsen as her mother, Robin Wright as a personal trainer to the Amazons. Even the secretary to Chris Pine is very smart and savvy and a step ahead. And, of course, about the most villainous character in the film is a woman, the warped and disfigured Professor Poison. And, of course, the director is a woman, Patty Jenkins.
Right. So it sounds like you liked this film.
I did. I enjoyed it.
And a lot. And you should, because it is a very good film. I watch a film like this, though, thinking you're really looking at two different things. One is the film itself, which within the context of the DC universe and the struggles that Warner Brothers has had with its Superman and Justice League follow-ups, very dark. Suicide Squad was a big disappointment.
Oh, yes.
Ugly film. This is such a breath of fresh air, and it is a good film. But within the industry, then you have to back up and also evaluate the film as a cultural milestone. Because
True.
We have not had a film like this after so many franchise films in both Marvel and DC that is powered by a woman, and Wonder Woman, no less. So in that regard, it's an extremely important film, I think. And the fact that it is making so much money and doing so well at the box office, I hate talking about box office and films because it's a poor indicator of a film's quality. But
Definitely.
In this case, this is a film that needed to be very good, and it is, and it needed to make lots of money, and it is. And I'm so hopeful that it is waking a lot of people up in Hollywood about the potential for female heroines driving films. I grew up in an age, you know, I was thinking back, my formative years and teenage years, I was watching Jamie Lee Curtis in Halloween.
Oh, yes.
I was watching Sigourney Weaver in the early Aliens films. Mm-hmm. I was watching Linda Hamilton in the early Terminator films. And I cannot believe this many decades later.
We skipped all those
years. We are still waiting for women to take their place.
Right, right.
Front and center.
What I found so fascinating, too, was, of course, when I thought, Patty Jenkins, who?
Yes.
And I find that
this
the only
the
other major feature film of hers was Monster.
Yes.
The amazing film with the unrecognizable Charlize Theron.
Who I believe
for
won
which
the Oscar for
she
her.
Won the Oscar, the SAG, and the Golden Globe for Monster. But that film was 2003.
Right.
And
14
I thought,
years ago.
Isn't that something that much? She's been doing some television. But I thought, oh, kudos to Patty.
And we have to talk about Alan Hynberg, who wrote the script. It's a very fine script.
Yes.
And mines all of the potential of this story, I thought, mm-hmm. who also has done almost exclusively television, like the director Patty Jenkins. The fact that both of them came out of television, I think, actually helped this film because television is so much more character-driven. Even the smaller characters, you talked about mm-hmm. Chris Pine's secretary, this great little performance,
oh,
fantastic little character. And then they've got this little squad, people who go to watch this film, watch this little team that Pine assembles of
yes.
mercenaries.
Yes.
One is a French Arab,
mm-hmm.
one is a Native American, and the other is a, shall we say, alcoholic Scots sharpshooter
so,
who's clearly has PTSD.
Right.
It's this amazing flawed group. They're all very distinctive. They all get little moments to shine.
Yes, they do. In fact, I was going to say that with all the feminine influence and so forth, that Chris Pine really does hold his own. And I love the fact that they go into a bar. It was very much like Han Solo finding
right.
his compadres in Star Wars, where he gathers together that motley crew, and the group of them take off. It really is a fun part of the film. But there is obviously seriousness to it as well. And I thought one of the most majestic, impressive scenes, again, answers to it isn't just a feminine film, although it was so empowering to see Wonder Woman take off when they are in the trenches at the no
yeah.
man's land.
Well,
and she just
finally reveals her costume.
Right, and she can no longer take
full
the
full warrior mode.
Oh, and there she goes. And then what happens? She galvanizes everyone to follow her. It's
right.
an amazing moment in the film.
It is, and I found my heart racing in several places. What was fascinating backing up from the film, because Wonder Woman is so fraught with our, you know, our past of the tight suits, the little skimpy outfits.
Right.
I was really curious how they were going to handle that. And throughout the entire film, it was rousing for me, not arousing. And fascinating that they were able to pull that off. She's in these extreme battles. They don't cut that short.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly hand-to-hand combat.
Right, right.
And it really is a rousing film. And the decision to set this origin story in World War I, the time of the suffragettes, which were clearly influences on the original creator of Wonder Woman,
right.
I thought was brilliant. And it also helps us suspend our disbelief. It will be curious. I'm really curious to see what the next film, which will most likely be set in modern times.
Yes.
How they
yes.
make that shift to a modern Wonder Woman.
Right. I had someone ask me after the film, does she age? Because there is that little hint that you get that there is a future, and hopefully, surely, there will be future films.
I don't like to think of Hollywood as being misogynistic. I don't think, by and large, it is as an industry, but it is extremely conservative when it spends this kind of money on films.
Money, money, money.
And therefore can usually not see beyond past formulas at work and not wanting to deviate from that. And there are so many deviations here, and the fact it's working, perhaps the way in the aftermath of Deadpool and its success and everyone
True.
Thinking we
mm-hmm.
need to make more R-rated superhero films, I'm hopeful that the success of Wonder Woman will be creating lots of conversations right now in Hollywood saying we need to mine all of these great female characters. We might see Scarlett Johansson finally get her own film out of the Avengers, or say Jennifer Lawrence, a spinoff from the X-Men.
Oh, wouldn't that be something?
Not that I'm a great fan of superhero films, but if we have to make them, might as well make them well.
Right, right. Yes, please do. And by the way, it is PG-13.
Yes.
There is some intense scenes, but all in all, yeah, it's but a...
Take your daughters and sons to see this.
Please do.
And your husbands.
Please do.
So other films coming up this summer, it's we're only halfway done, and lots of coming up, I think you've spotlighted a few things you wanted to let us know about to be looking for.
Yes, yes. Upcoming slate of films features many women actually in major roles and as directors. That there's so much to look forward to, and I've picked out a few I've got my eye on. The first one is The Beguiled.
Oh, yes.
Nicole Kidman and Colin Farrell are both on a roller coaster of filmmaking this summer, and one we're sure to see here will be The Beguiled, directed by Sofia Coppola, who really knows how to create mood and atmosphere, takes on Southern Gothic.
And just won, I think, the Best Director Award at the Cannes Film Festival.
Yes, she did, for this film, for The Beguiled. It's set during the Civil War. Mm-hmm. Colin Farrell is a wounded Union soldier who stumbles onto the crumbling remnants of an all-girls school, which turns out to be a decidedly ominous place to be.
The wrong house of women to fall into.
Yes, yes.
Of course, it's a remake of the Clint Eastwood film from the 70s.
Apparently, it's... If you're familiar with that film, I've gotten the very distinct impression the ending is radically different, which apparently follows the book more closely. But it does have a very strong cast besides Kidman. Another female-oriented film also directed by a woman is Megan Levy. And this film did start yesterday in our local theaters. And it's set in Iraq, and it stars Kate Mara as the woman Marine with a canine unit. It's a fact-based story, and it shows us what heroics are really about. Kind of a twist on a different type of film is The Book of Henry, starring Naomi Watts and Jacob Tremblay, who you might remember is the young boy from Room, where he plays a precocious 11-year-old who steers his single mom and young brother through life. But things take a nasty turn when Henry and his mom learn the dark secret about their neighbor and Henry's best friend, Christina. That's out June 16th. Beatrice at Dinner, it looks like a fascinating but probably will be controversial. It tells the story of a holistic healer and masseuse who winds up at the dinner party of a wealthy client and engages in a duel of sorts with a real estate mogul as their personal philosophies clash. That came out yesterday in select theaters. And then, of course, we're all holding our breath for Dunkirk.
Yeah.
In July.
And I would say Catherine Bigelow's Detroit.
Yes, that's coming up. Very, very important film.
A couple of shortcuts. I've been thinking about all of these great films helmed by women, moved by women, and a couple of the smaller films that have come out the last few years that I really wanted to remark on that are available for streaming is Lake Bell's 2013 film, In a World. It's a great romantic comedy. I think the best romantic comedy of the last 5 years. And that is available to stream and on DVD. Bell stars, writes, and acts in it. It's about a young woman trying to break into the all-male world in Hollywood of trailer voice actors. These are the guys who narrate the trailers. It's a very funny film. And then Kelly Reichardt's 2010 film, Meek's Cutoff, about a small group of settlers in the 1840s who are lost on a wagon train, wandering aimlessly on the plains. It stars Michelle Williams and Paul Dano. And is another example of a woman working within a genre, the Western, that we don't usually think of as being very accessible to women filmmakers. So,
that was a powerful film.
Highly recommend both of those. Jean, always nice to chat with you about movies.
Oh, thank you. Wish we had more time.
I've been discussing the latest superheroine film, Wonder Woman, and some recommended titles for streaming or home viewing with frequent on-film contributor Jean Creel. Wonder Woman breathes new life into Warner Brothers and DC Comics franchise films and is rated PG-13. Our recommended short takes this week were both by women filmmakers, Lake Bell's 2013 comedy In a World and Kelly Reichardt's 2010 Western Meek's Cutoff. Thanks to Kimberly Garcia for recording today's show and to Dennis Wu for engineering today's program. An archive of past programs is available on this station's website at ktep.org. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.